The Fan is your home for Pitt football. They reconvened the City game, dormant since 1939 on Saturday. Pat Bostic will be back in the broadcast booth as color commentator. He's also now the host of the Pat Narduzzi Show on Wednesday nights, which will start on our sister station, KDK AM, 100.1 FM, and then in October, once the Pirate season ends, come over to 93.7 The Fan on us Wednesday nights at 6. Pat, congratulations on all your success.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Let me start with this, Pat. What went wrong with Kenny Pickett? Why is he now on his fourth team in 4 years, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's I think it's a number of things. I think that it was a tall order and a tough task for him coming to Pittsburgh out of the gate for a number of reasons, not the least of which is following Ben Roethlisberger and, you know, the state of the offense at the time, which would take a lot to unpack, his readiness as well. I remember talking to you guys about that draft class, and where he stood in that draft class was higher than it might have been in other classes, and that's nothing, not to take anything away from him. I think that really framed the rest of his career at this point, to this point, was how Pittsburgh went. Obviously, Philadelphia was a great change of pace for him, being a backup, and then Cleveland was another really odd situation. So for him to go to Vegas behind Geno Smith, I think is a much better situation for him, one that fits the opportunity to play. They've got some parts around him and will be much more functional than what he would have had certainly up the road in Cleveland. But it's been an odd journey. It's been circuitous. But again, I wanted it to work in Pittsburgh, but For all the reasons, including them not taking Dan Marino in the early 80s, there was a lot of pressure on him. And I don't think everything was pulling in the direction of him succeeding here.
Pat, we saw him play here, you know, for the majority of his time in the NFL. It's been games with the Steelers, so we sort of got a sense of what he could and couldn't do and what definitely wasn't a perfect situation. What do you think he still would be capable of if he got a legitimate shot somewhere else, whether it's with the Raiders or even another team somewhere down the road? Like, where is your level of belief, I guess might be the wrong word, but I'll use it, in terms of Kenny's ability to play the game at the NFL level and be a solid enough NFL player?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the one play I always see from the Dallas game last year is the play where, I guess it's a meme or a GIF or GIF or whatever you call it, where you know the ball comes loose. But if you watch the game and how he played in that game with obviously a great supporting cast in Philly, he played really well and played on with broken ribs and otherwise. So I think he's accurate. I think he's tough. I think he's mobile enough to make plays with his feet, and he's smart and dependable. He's as serviceable a backup at this point as anyone in the league and has proven he can win in this league. Is he Jalen Hurts as a runner? No. Is he Josh Allen as a thrower? No. We knew all those things 4 years ago. I think for him, it's going to take the right opportunity at the right time. Where that is, if it's Vegas, great. But obviously it wasn't going to be Cleveland. It wasn't Pittsburgh at the time he was here. And Philly, the deck was kind of stacked with what they have. So, you know, is it a Baker Mayfield journey? Does he have that in him? Only time will tell.
I would say no is one of his biggest champions. I do not see that for him. You do?
Would you have seen that in Baker Mayfield when he was in Cleveland?
Baker Mayfield was the top overall pick, and the only reason that got sabotaged, I thought, was because they kept running him out there injured, and he insisted on playing injured. But, like, the guys, the tools, even though he's not a tall guy, were always there. Light, just ridiculous arm.
I mean, I think he threw 28 touchdown passes.
Yeah,
he did have
the rookie touchdown
record there.
He did, but
he also played for three teams before he became a starter, a true starter, and a top-of-the-league starter.
I mean, he beat the Steelers in a playoff game here, though. I mean,
he did, and then got benched.
I guess, right? Pat, my thing with Baker is I do just think there is a tool there that Kenny doesn't have, and that's he does have a massive arm for the NFL. Like, he can make every single throw from every platform.
Certainly he does, and would you have said the same thing about Geno Smith early in his career?
No. I mean, Geno Smith is the outlier. You're right. Geno Smith got punched in the face by a teammate, got benched, and didn't play for 10 years. So I thought, I agree, I had written off Geno Smith.
Now, am I saying Kenny is going to be Baker Mayfield or Geno Smith? I'm saying a lot would have to go right for that to happen. A lot would have to go right,
Pat,
around him. And to this point, not a lot has gone right for him around him.
Pat, you still obviously have talked to him. He was on your show on your Saturday Panther Insider show after he won the Super Bowl, and he was coming back here for the Pitt spring game. How do you think all the trades and stuff have affected his confidence or self-esteem as a quarterback? You know how important the mental side of the game is. Where do you think his head's at after all these moves?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. But if you look back on his college career, aside from his last season, which was special, it wasn't all, you know, sunshine and roses for him. You know, he threw for 8 yards in an ACC championship game against Clemson in 2018. We played in a game where Pitt got blown out at home against Penn State. In 2020, his season was shortened due to injury, and he stuck through all of it. Ended up having one of the best years in program history and by a quarterback that we've seen around here in a long time. So he's been through these times of trials and tribulations. I think certainly this is on another scale and at another level. And you can't help but wonder if the door's closing if you're in his shoes. He keeps getting picked up, and it's going to be whether or not he takes advantage of that next opportunity that's presented to him, where he knew he was going to have those opportunities here at Pitt because of Pat Narduzzi's loyalty to him and the opportunities that were going to be presented to him ahead. So it's got to be difficult, but like I said, he's tough, he's resilient, and it's not like he hasn't battled through adversity before. Again, this is just at another level.
Well, Pat, I'll use that to switch over then to Pitt here. Eli Holstein kind of got both sides of the coin last year. The, oh my God, this team is undefeated. Are they going to be sniffing around potentially the college football playoff? Then he got banged up pretty good and the wheels came off. So what do you expect from Eli Holstein after he kind of saw all the peaks and valleys in one season, his first at Pitt?
Yeah, I expect to see more consistency from him. Even in the 7-0 start, you know, there were peaks and there were valleys and there were moments of certainly brilliance, but you know, you kind of felt like, you know, Pitt was playing with his hair on fire at times during that 7-0 start with the comebacks against Cincinnati and against West Virginia. I'd like to see, you know, more routine performance from him and candidly from the entire offense, because there were fits and starts throughout last season, and he's certainly a part of that. What they've done up front is a part of that. But I know a lot more about this team going into 2025 than I did last year. You know, last year there was a complete overhaul on offense on the staff. There was personnel changes. It's a brand new offensive scheme that was foreign to any Pat Narduzzi football team from a tempo standpoint and a schematic standpoint. Now with that being in year two, with some personnel continuity, most notably your quarterback, the whole staff back on that side of the ball, I think we all know more and they all feel more comfortable with what they have going into it. And I expect that to be reflected in Eli's play.
Pat, Malzi is a diehard Pitt fan, but he did have the audacity yesterday to put six teams ahead of Pitt in the ACC this year. Do you think Malzi's out of his mind?
No, I think there's a group of about five. You know, we had Wes Durham on, Dorn and I, last Thursday morning, and there's a group of about four to five teams below your reigning playoff teams and Miami that are all in the same kind of weight class, right? It's Louisville, it's Pitt, it's Duke with, you know, Darian Mensah.
Georgia Tech's a pain in the ass with Haynes Tech. King and that way they run the ball. That team seems like another nightmare to play.
Right. So
a
there's
nightmare.
Just all
wow.
There's,
ask Georgia about
those,
it, Bunny. Ask
they beat them both times, but okay.
Ask them Georgia Bulldogs if they weren't sweating blood to win that game.
Right. Yeah, there's that group. So, I mean, how it sorts out will be, you know, we won't know till November. But, you know, I circle – certainly the West Virginia game week three is really important. Anytime you play that rivalry, obviously there's strings attached this year that are new and sometimes in some ways old. But – yeah, that game after a bye week against Louisville on the 27th of September, to me, will tell us a lot about this team. Win, lose, or draw against West Virginia on the road, certainly it's a rivalry, so you can throw it up. But that game against Louisville, you know, you can prove you're a contender in the conference. It's a team that reloads every year with a great coach in Jeff Rahm. They got Miller Moss from USC. They beat the tar out of you last year on the road. You go win that game, and you know I'll start to argue with Mulsey about those six teams
well,
ahead of us.
But Pat, as always, I let the results dictate how my opinion flows, so we might not have anything to argue about. We might just head to the first tee and go play a nice little match if all that happens.
Ultimately, it is all about what's in the pudding, whether it's Kenny, whether it's Pitt, whether it's the Steelers this year. It's ultimately all conjecture until, you know, there's the game starts and you have a W or an L in the column and your stat sheet is what it is. So that'll define it. And but I'm excited. I'm excited for college football. I'm excited for NFL football. It's kind of got that feel in the air right now. And, you know, we've had a lot of list season, off season talk. I think it's time to talk some ball and see some ball.
Pat, your official Steelers record prediction in 2025 is?
11-7.
They only play 17 regular season games.
11-6 then. Sorry.
Okay. It's all right.
He's just projecting. He's just early because they're going to have an 18-game schedule soon enough.
Will they make the playoffs?
Yes.
Will they win a playoff game?
Yes.
Will they win multiple playoff games?
Ooh.
No.
Okay. So they get to the divisional round.
Yeah, it's as interested as I've been in a Steelers season in a long time. That includes when Kenny was in black and gold.
Will Aaron Rodgers be their quarterback in 2026?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
That's a big take right there.
Pat, we will listen tomorrow night and definitely be listening on Saturday afternoon. Thank you.
I appreciate it, boys. Thanks
there
a lot.
There you go, Pat Bostic.